Yes, ma'am.
I'm like, Senate meeting. Yeah, so this is the meeting of the Rules Committee of the Arizona Board of Psych Examiners. The time is 9:32. I'm not sure who's doing the roll call, but could you please go ahead with the roll call?
Yes, Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Bohansky?
Present.
Dr. Flowers?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Can you give me 1 minute? I'm running in from another meeting. Yes, Jenna. I'm opening up the agenda.
I have a typo.
Okay. I'd like to go ahead and move to item number 3, which is discussion, consideration, and possible action pertaining to the 5-year rule notice. Ms. Jones, can you give us a brief update on this item?
Sure. Madam Chair, committee members, we did receive the five-year rule review notice from GRC, which is the Governor's Regulatory Review Council. It states that they would like us to complete the 5-year rule review in April. I have requested an extension by letter, and as of now, I've not received a confirmation that extension is granted, but I understand from GRC that they may not be sending confirmation of an extension, but I've got to follow up and confirm that. I have engaged Jeannie Han to assist us with the rules package, provided the board and the committee are in approval of that. She has written the rules for the board, and she is a rules writer that several agencies use. I feel very comfortable with using her and would ask that we be allowed to use her services due to her expertise. She is the former director of GRC, so she has a lot of knowledge in this area.
Thank you, Ms. Jones, and I am in full agreement with that. I think many of the members on this committee have had the pleasure of working with Ms. Han in the past, and we really appreciate her expertise and knowledge. Committee members, do you have any questions on having Jeannie Han be part of our, assisting us with this process?
I completely agree, Dr. Malott. She is familiar with the process. She's very competent and thorough, and she understands our board.
Yeah, I don't believe I've had any dealings with her, but with your positive recommendations, I am confident it'd be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
Especially rule in which, that's something we really need assistance with, so we keep to the spirit of the rule language. That decision was easy. welcome. I'm assuming Ms. Han is in the room as well?
She is not today. She did send me a form of questions that she uses when addressing the 5-year rule review. I did attach that and send it to you all back on, I believe, the 25th of January. I sent it on the 16th of January. And it's just an outline of what the 5-year rule review requests. Have the rules relevant to the rules been amended during the past 5 years? Are the rules effective in achieving their objectives? Are the rules consistent with federal statutes and other rules? So we'll work through each of those for the rules, for each rule in the psychology as well as the behavior analyst portions. Since the behavior analyst rules were recently updated, my understanding is we won't have to address those areas that have been amended within the past 5 years. So the recent rule, that'll save us some on the behavior analyst portion. We only have had one written criticism of the rules in the past 5 years, and that was from Dr. Johnson. And her issue was with the continuing education that is required in the areas of abuse. Domestic violence, and those issues. And so I mainly wanted the committee to meet this morning to help give me some direction. I felt like I missed the mark with the sunset audit, and I wasn't on top of the claim issue. I'm glad that that came out at the meeting with this, with the auditors. So I just wanted to know if there were any rules that you all felt we should allow to be repealed, or if there are any rules that you see major problems with that we need to address and change. And I just kind of wanted to give get an overall idea of where you all feel the rules need to go. So I can
Dr. Bob?
Yes.
Go ahead, Dr. Bohansky.
There are two or three areas that throw out just for us to contemplate. First, we have the State of the State address by the governor, in which he's very clearly suggesting that we are antiquated and old-fashioned if we think we are some behemoth that is going to deny someone the right to work in the state as a psychologist when they're licensed somewhere else. That would directly affect our application process. I don't know if there will be an executive order along the lines of his promise in the State of the State address. But I think if we were to continue to pursue the universal application and continue to maintain our rules as close to the model legislation that ASPPB has, we would be in line with most other jurisdictions, and the mere getting the application process into the PLUS system would eliminate multiple pages of rules, which I think is well within the purview of what the governor is looking for. We could almost be proactive and say we're dismissing, I think it's 7 or 9 pages of rules by making this one change. The second thing that we need to be somewhat aware of and cautious of, and perhaps we can learn something if we can get them to show up at our meeting on the 8th, is what impact this PCSAS new legislative effort is going to have, because that's going to come down plop in the middle of this review and could cause substantial difficulty, although I go back to point one and say it makes a hell of a lot more sense to be in line with 64 jurisdictions than in line with their particular whims. And the last one is, do we want to wait until we see the review on sunset to see if they're going to make any recommendations on the claim system, which would require rule changes? So those are my three.
I have several. They're not on the, you know, like Dr. Bohansky gave some very overall great comments. I wish I would have watched the State of the State address. Now, Was that, did he say all?
It's on Google, on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Did he say all licensed professionals we should have reciprocity with, or just accept everybody?
Yep, he made it very clear in the state of the state that, you know, that people who move here and if they've been licensed, state boards have no business denying them licensure, so.
Okay, wow. That's interesting. Also, I guess it's already been mentioned, I saw the statement in our rules talking about if people have issues with court-ordered evaluations, they should get something from the court and not address us until they have that, which of course ignores our current claims process. But as Dr. Bohansky said, maybe that's going to be addressed again by the courts, and so we can wait to see where it lands. But right now, the rules that we have are not what we do because of the claims process.
So okay.
I don't know, we probably do
need to look at that as well in light of that.
Well, Dr. Flower, we want to be very careful there in that the claims process is only applied to child custody issues, whereas other court appointments, especially those on that we had the most concern about, were the sexual offenders filing issues from within the state penal system. And that continues under the old system of requiring review by a judge before it's allowed to come to us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we wouldn't want to overstep it and make it worse, in essence. But I guess that one slice you're talking about, the childish, you know, child custody issues, apparently would need to be added within our rules.
Dr. Flowers, may I ask which rule you are referring to, just so I can take a look at it?
Okay, let me, now that I've made that incredible statement, let me see if I can find the reference here. It's Rule 4-26-309, Complaints Against Judicially Appointed Psychologists.
Thank you. We'll have a chance to research it that way. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. And there's another one. During the full board meeting, I brought it up. It has to do with when inactive licensees want to reactivate their license, what they can do or what they should do. And I think the current rule, well, for me, was confusing. It's the one that talks about reinstatement, Rule 4-26-206. Reinstatement of license from inactive to active status, and it talks about how, let me see where it is here. Okay. It says psychologist who's on inactive status for at least 2 years may reinstate the license to active status by presenting to the board documentation of completion of at least 40 hours of continuing education that meets the standards. And then a psychologist who's on inactive status for less than 2 years may reinstate by giving the prorated amount. And so my confusion on that would be there are psychologists going to be on active status for, like, let's just for the sake of argument, say for 6 years. And then from what I figured or saw when I, you know, pulled somebody and said I need to discuss this, was if they've been inactive for 6 years and 2 months, then they're only required to show the prorated amount for those months rather than for the previous 6 years. That, and I think the statement was, well, most psychologists that are inactive status have an active license elsewhere, so we don't need that. But within the rule here, it doesn't say that. And, you know, I because of my maybe bureaucratic mind or whatever, I would be more comfortable if it said something about if
psychologist has been on inactive status for 2 years or longer, that they present acceptable documentation of CEs for 2 years, rather than just for a sliver of it. I didn't phrase it that way in my proposal. Let's see if I can pull that up here.
Yeah, that's okay. I understand what you're saying. Okay, definitely. We can. I don't have a problem. I can look into that.
What I did, I tried to make it really simple. I put down a psychologist who remains on inactive status for 2 years or longer may reinstate the license to active status by, you know, documentation of at least 40 hours. That would be one way of doing it. I mean, but if you want, you know, it depends how obsessive you want to get. another one would be they would simply say if they've been on active status in another jurisdiction, they can stay the jurisdiction and then they wouldn't have to, kind of thing. But I even thought of why wouldn't they do it for all the years prior, and then I thought, well, because we don't require licensees to keep their documentation more than the previous renewal cycle. So those are my thoughts, but the simplest thing would simply to be to say inactive status for 2 years or longer. And then it would, in my mind, this paragraph would make sense. And then if it's less than 2 years, you do the prorate, that kind of thing. So I'm not sure about the other board members, if that makes sense to them or I confused everybody.
No, I think Dr. Flowers, I think you're not changing the intent of the rule, but you're really changing how it's framed. And so I think that is something we can definitely look at. So you know, when you do open rules, and it's a chance to really help clarify our statutes and make it more clear. So anything that has caused a heartburn, you know, this is our time to kind of help with that clarity. So one suggestion I have, Ms. Jones, is that we do put this on the agenda for the February meeting and that we ask board members, you know, to bring any suggestions that we will review as a rules committee. The other suggestion I have is that maybe we divide and conquer and we take certain sections. Doesn't mean you don't have to look at other sections, but and really spend time reviewing it and, you know, ensuring that it's clear. And if we have concerns with language or clarity, we bring that to the next meeting. You know, we share that with Ms. Jones. So at our next meeting, we will kind of dive into those rules and, you know, kind of do some wordsmithing with Ms. Hahn's help. And eventually then, as the process goes, once we make changes to our rules, it will go up for public comment, and then we will come back after 30 days and review the public comment on any rule changes.
Yes.
So I really would like to recommend another meeting, and you might have it on our calendar, and we start, like, really diving into specific rules that need addressing. And the final suggestion I have, Ms. Jones, is, and this is a little more tedious, but over the years, I know this has come up, and I don't know whether we maintain an active file, but we'll be in a meeting and we'll say, wow, this really needs to be changed. And we've made several comments. I know it comes up in the application review committee. And if we can compile those thoughts that have emerged, you know, from, and hopefully it was recorded in the minutes, then we'd definitely look at all of those as well, you know. And you obviously shared with us what you had a public comment, so we have that. We will do a study, and then we will look at the minutes, and then we will ask the board, and then basically we'll identify several rules, besides the one that we've already identified today, and review it carefully, make suggestions, and proceed, you know, because it's a very iterative process. So that's my overall kind of recommendation on how we should proceed.
Now, good. I noticed another area that we might want to look at as well. It's within the timeframes for processing applications, and maybe, well, there's probably a lot I don't know. I'm confident there is a lot I don't know, but I was kind of stunned when I saw that the time to respond to notice of deficiency is 240 days. It's like, whoa, that's like more than a half a year. And so I'm not sure if that's something that, I'm not sure what went into that decision. And if that's something, because I would think, I've never processed psychologist applications, I would think if they get a notice of deficiency, 60 days should be more than enough, not like 8 months.
I think one of the reasons behind that 240 days is it allows people, say if they have to take a class and that lasts 4 months.
Oh, I see.
Okay. 120 days. So, I mean, obviously they don't have to wait 240, but it gives people enough time to remedy the deficiencies.
Okay, that makes, okay, thank you. You filled in the blank because I thought if they, like some of the tiny things I noticed that are wrong in applications, they can just fix in like 2 hours. courses, yeah, you can't just throw them together online overnight. Okay,
And sometimes they have to do clinical hours, and you know,
okay,
they may reject some of their clinical experiences. And,
okay, so. that makes, okay, thank you. That makes much more sense.
Yes.
That prevents the all the nonsense in withdrawing an application and being allowed to withdraw an application and then refiling an application. So it kind of is there to allow the freedom to pick up several hundred more hours of supervised practice or to complete a deficiency in a content area.
Well, then I guess beyond that, if it were too short of a time, they could say, we submit it, we pay all this money, and now we have to do another $500 to take another look. You know, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really to benefit the applicant.
Okay.
There's nothing to stop somebody from responding within a day. So.
Okay, yeah, and I would think most people, it's been a while since I applied, they don't want to wait any time at all, you know.
Yeah.
But
and this doesn't prevent them from doing that. So.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, thank you.
So the other thing, you know, one thing, I think Dr. Bohansky already raised it when he talked about the governor's state of the state address. But I know there's a, I'll have to look at statutes because anytime we do rule changes, we have to make sure it's aligned with our statute. But one thing, I always, if people have graduated with the right degree and the right, so they got a clinical counseling school, education, whatever the degrees that we specify. And at the time, you know, when their program was in existence, especially 50 years ago or 40, maybe a certain course wasn't required, and then they come to our board. And if they've been a successful licensed psychologist, and I think this is in line with the governor, I think, I don't know, I wish we had the discretion, you know, to... Because we waived their postdoc, we waived their pre-doc in 25 years, but we still insist on certain courses. And that always has bothered me. So I'm just, you know, I'd like to look at that and see how that...
There could be a grandfather clause of some type. And to some degree, we have that with the waiving the professional experience if they have like 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
I guess other lawyers, we've had to deny applicants due to our statutes, even though pretty well most of us, if not all, thought that they've been working 25 years as a psychologist somewhere else, and now they come here and we can't grant
your
license.
You don't have a social psych class. Sorry, you know.
Yeah,
it's actually a different issue, I think. It's a bigger issue. We have a current health sciences license in the state, and we've defined that as four areas of which you can obtain your degree. Well, 35 years ago, those four areas were not defined that way, and people graduated, met the requirements, became licensed, and have practiced in health psychology or healthcare psychology, even though their degree was in personality psychology. And we've literally turned people down because the degree was not in one of our four accepted areas. So if we're going to look at specific classes, I'd also suggest we have to look at degrees, and I think that's not a rule issue, that's a statute issue. And then that's going to beg itself in terms of people trying to convince us in the near future that clinical science is a health practice degree when it was designed as a research degree. So I think that issue is going to force itself upon us anyway.
Well, and indeed, I think that when the law was changed in 91 to make it was a practice law, which meant you had to have, like, the intent of your training was to help you work in a health environment or rather than to do research on people. And so, you know, potentially the governor may be inadvertently inviting people licensed elsewhere that would not really be working as a licensed psychologist in Arizona to get an Arizona license.
That's true. Some states actually license people in industrial organizational.
Yeah.
And if they come to Arizona, they can now get a practice license from us if we were to follow the strict construct of the governor's presentation, which is why I think we proactively say, you know, there are 64 jurisdictions and we follow the recommendation that's given to all so that we can do that. And in fact, our application is a universal application available to all 64. So I think we can proactively address some of those things without having that put upon us.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Madam Chair, may I just,
yes.
If I understand correctly, may I just, because that was the purpose of this meeting, so I could get some direction from you all, and I greatly appreciate it. So basically, you would like me to put a list of items together that have been discussed at the ARC and the board meetings regarding rules that need possible changes, present those to, we'll start working on those, but in the meantime, have put this on the February agenda for the board to discuss and begin thinking about. And then when the committee meets again, I will have already prepared and sent out the list of the changes that have been previously mentioned. Do you want me to split up the rules, or would you like to split up the rules? Or how do you wish to do that?
I don't know. I'm going to ask Dr. Bohansky and Dr. Flowers. I think, you know, we all need to maybe go through. I printed it out, and I have 41 pages. but you know, some of us are more passionate about some sections than others. I'm always passionate about the licensing process, you know. So maybe I'm okay with you splitting it up. I think you know our areas of interest, you know, and kind of make a even split. So that way we focus on, my fear is that, you know, I want us to really read it carefully rather than skim. And given everybody's crazy schedules, if we skim through it, we'll miss the finer points that might need revising. So, and you have to read it and always keep the statutes in the background, you know, because do they align well together? So that's just a suggestion I have to, you know, besides addressing all the ones that were raised today, maybe things that come up during the board meeting on next week or 2 weeks, and then things that have come up in previous meetings, and then just a quick read through to certain sections, and then we have a big list of things we need to address, and then we just go down that list systematically and, you know, look at the language and do the word tweaking. Dr. Bohansky and I have been through this before. We actually did a pretty major review of our rules. I feel like it was very recently, but maybe it was about 5 years ago. I came to the 5 years, flew by. So.
Five years was recent.
Yeah. So I felt like I remember sitting in that room, you know, that little meeting room. But that was just very recently. Anyway, that was 5 years ago, I guess. So that's kind of just a general strategy to move forward and so that we do a comprehensive look. Dr. Flowers and Dr. Bohansky, are you okay with that kind of strategy of just dividing it up and maybe just taking a deep look at the pages we are assigned to and then all coming back?
Yeah, I have one more recommendation.
Okay, go ahead.
Over the past year, so 11, 12 meetings, at the end of the meetings, I think in the minute, some of us had ideas about changes that should be looked at that kind of seemed to just kind of float away, or maybe not. But I think it would be helpful if someone would review the minutes for the last year and see if there were better ideas or other ideas that we haven't come up with today that seemed relevant at the time. Many of these potential rule changes are obscure enough that they come up with a case that we're reviewing at that time, and then they don't come to mind again. And we say, gosh, we should look at a rule change for that next time we open the rules. And I think the only record of that might be in the minutes.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Dr. Bohansky, I'll be happy to do that, and I'll do that as part of the directive for going through the ARC minutes also. So,
good idea.
Yeah, yes, and I also agree that dividing the rules to look at, like, individually in depth is a good idea. And I think, you know, Dr. Malott has huge amount of experience in looking at applications, so she has an interest in being the one that looks in depth at that. That's great, and I think all of us will look at all the rules, but if we have specific pages we need to just totally minutely look at, I think that's a good idea as well.
Okay, and so Ms. Jones, do you make the decision? I'm fine with that, if everyone else is fine with that. And based on your knowledge of our expertise, then we will, so when we come back to our next meeting, after we get information from the minutes, we get other suggestions from board members in 2 weeks, and then our own in-depth review, which we will submit to you hopefully in advance of this meeting, and then you know, our next meeting will be hopefully a very productive meeting where we're just going rule by rule, looking at the language and kind of making suggestions to tweak it. And then, you know, and then Ms. Hahn will look at it and kind of make it look good. And then it'll go back to the board for review. The board will approve maybe whatever changes that we suggest, and then it'll be open for public comment for 30 days. So, and then we'll come back to us. Isn't that how the process works?
Well, Madam Chair, committee members, actually, with this five-year review, we're simply reviewing the rules and determining if they fall within these criteria that Ms. Hahn has outlined on her her list of questions. But this will allow us, this review that we're talking about will allow us to move forward after the completion of the five-year rule review and request an exemption from the governor's office to open a rule change package. So it would actually be a two-step process. We would complete the five-year review and then seek the changes in a separate rule package, because the governor's office still does have the rules moratorium on, which means we have to get approval from their office before we submit a package to make rule changes.
Oh, okay, okay. So this is just a review to see whether we have any rules that we cannot live with and that we do want to go with a change. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if we have ones that we will outline if we feel they need to be reworded, or if we feel they're not consistent with other rules, those kinds of things, which is great that we're doing a full review, because then it makes the next step much easier, and basically we'll have all of that work already completed, and it'll just be the next progression to request the exemption from the governor's office and then move forward with the rule changes that we've identified in the five-year review.
So one question I have, how likely is it, given that there is a moratorium, that the governor would approve a rule-making package that we get permission? Because
Madam Chair, committee members, I've experienced good luck. You have to meet certain criteria when you request the exemption, and those usually are based upon clarifying, reduction, making the process more simple. As you all recall, a couple years ago, we had the governor's hotline to request rule changes for agencies across the board. So I don't think that there'll be any opposition to making the rules changes, provided we're making them adding more clarity, simplifying, or reducing regulations.
Okay. And the one question I have, which I know Dr. Bohansky raised, in terms of the PLUS application, because I know that will bring about rule changes, where are we in that timeline?
I am waiting on feedback from the AG's office about what concerns or issues they had with the contract. And as soon as I have those provided to me, then I will go back to ASPPB and see if modifications can be made. We also can, when we do make a rule change package, we can also ask that we go back to addressing a form approved by the board versus outlining each and every question and requirement on the application. I know a couple years ago the pendulum swung where it said we had to outline every single question and request in rule, and in the last couple of years, the pendulum has swung back the other way. And so I think the board will need to have a discussion if they want to exclusively use the PLUS application or use the PLUS as well as a state application, which could mirror the PLUS. But in the meantime, we could also reduce the limit or the number of rules by removing that requirement that we put every single requirement in rule and simply go with something more to the effect, as I said before, of something like the applicant shall submit an application on a form approved by the board. And the board could adopt multiple forms, either that being the ASPPB form, or which would be the PLUS form, as well as an in-state form.
Okay, that would be something we can do even in preparation. So that's a good thing to look at, which we will be as part of this process we are adopting. So thank you for clarifying that process, a rule review versus doing a whole rule package. I think the last time I know Dr. Bohensky and I were on the committee. We were doing kind of that substantive change. You know, the rule, it was open for review, and it had been a while, so we did a lot of rule writing and rule changes at that time. So this is slightly different, so I appreciate the clarification. So. Okay, I'm going back to the, go ahead. Did somebody have something? I think we've kind of been in item number four, if I'm not mistaken, because we've been talking about discussion, consideration, possible action pertaining to rule changes. In terms of a time frame, Ms. Jones, do you have any recommendations? It'll take, I know, staff at least a couple of weeks to look at all, I mean, or more than, I don't know how long it takes to look at meeting minutes, and then the board meeting is on February 8th. So when do you think this committee needs to get together to do kind of what we've outlined?
Could we possibly do it in a month? Is that asking too much?
Okay, so maybe towards the end of February. Is that okay with Dr. Bohensky and Flowers? Dr. Flowers?
Yes, that's fine.
Sure, we just would, of course, set a time and make sure we can all attend.
Okay, I think that would be great. So maybe we can go ahead and even set the meeting in anticipation that we will have all this information that we've talked about gathered in time for that meeting. So towards the end of February, before March 8th is my recommendation, because I leave town on March 8th for 3 weeks. I'm going to India, so.
Wow.
So.
Well, then we need to have Dr. Bohensky in China, so we'll have international.
We could have a three-country teleconference.
And I'll be in Yuma.
Yuma. There's something that's in common. I think it's going to be hot in all three places.
Yeah.
that's kind of like being in China.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think Dr. Flowers would have a little less pollution.
Well, hopefully, you never know in the desert.
Okay, so it sounds like, are you okay, Ms. Jones? Do you think we've covered everything you would have liked us to cover for this meeting?
Yes, Madam Chair, I appreciate it. As I said, I just needed some direction of how you all wanted to carry this out, and I greatly appreciate the discussion.
Okay, well, thank you, and I think it helps that at least two of us have been on this before. So, and I think Dr. Bohensky and I were on the behavior and this rule writing. We've been on a lot of rules committee together, Dr. Bohensky. So.
Yes, we have, and it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, so we've done, I remember the behavior analyst. I was writing it from scratch. So, you know, the behavior analysts were very helpful in that process. Item number five is agenda items for future meetings. I think we've really kind of established the agenda, is really looking at all the different rules that need to be looked at, as well as I'm sure you will give us an update on whether we've got the extension and other things that may come up, you know, that are progressing in the state in terms of other statute changes that are happening. So, not sure if it'll all happen by our next meeting, but those will all be agenda items for that future meeting. So, anything else for agenda items that you'd like to make sure it gets added on, Dr. Flowers and Dr. Bohensky?
Not at this time. I think we create a lot of issues.
I agree.
Okay. Well, if we are done with that item, I think we can move to the next item, which is adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Motion approved. We adjourn. Again, thank you, Ms. Jones. Thank you, Dr. Bohansky and Dr. Flowers, for being here and for all the great suggestions. And I look forward to our next meeting. Have a wonderful weekend.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.